The following message was given by Brother Timothy Hung in the church in New York City, June 19, 2016. The title of the message is The Ark of the Testimony and the Propitiation Place. Scripture verses are Exodus chapter 25, verses 10 through 22.
Come to you by your precious blood.
Amen.
Thank you, you have opened a new and living way.
Amen.
We all can come in truth.
Amen.
With boldness in faith. Oh, we just love you and praise you.
Amen.
Thank you. According to your promise, we are gathered into your name.
Amen.
And we have your presence.
Amen.
And we have your speaking.
Amen.
Lord, we give this meeting to you.
Amen.
And give ourselves to you.
Amen.
In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Since this morning we are going over what we covered last week. Last week we covered what we covered before, because we went through the winter training, the third winter training on the book of Exodus.
Amen.
And previously we went over message by message, but not all the messages. So we already covered the Ark of the Testimony, which is message one of the third training on the book of Exodus. And the second message is concerning the expiation covered, or the propitiation place. So according to the title, this morning we are just reviewing the two messages concerning, firstly, the Ark of the Testimony and the propitiation place. The word propitiation place is in the New Testament. The Ark of the Testimony is in Old Testament. The equivalent of the propitiation place in the Old Testament is the expiation cover. So this morning, I just want to spend a little time share what I enjoy, and then you can share your enjoyment.
Amen.
Both messages are very full. So we can just pick a few points, and we can share with one another. The burden concerning going over the book of Exodus, both during the life study when I was when they were the life study messages when they were given by Brother Lee, and also during the training, winter training last year, the burden was not just going over some Old Testament scriptures and as a doctrine to learn something, but rather the emphasis is concerning the revelation and its application for our experience. You know, there's a verse kind of a combine the Ark of the Testimony and the expiation cover together. That is verse 22 of Exodus chapter 25. Before we read this verse again, I just want to mention today we read the verses from chapter 25, verse 10 through verse 22. Before verse 10, it was the verses mentioned in concerning the materials were used for building God's dwelling place. And in the verse before, before verse 10, which is verse 9, the Lord charged Moses, according to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its utensils, even so you shall make it. In other words, Jehovah told Moses to make this tabernacle and all its utensils according to the pattern which God has shown to Moses. Then, after this statement, it mentioned the first item Moses is supposed to make. That is the Ark of the Testimony. I hope by this we can see the Ark of the Testimony is very, very important. It's the first item mentioned, and first item Moses was charged by God to make it. So Just give a little background. We know God's dwelling place is divided into three parts. There is the outer court, then there's the holy place, then there's the holy of holies. The whole thing is God's dwelling place. But God is not dwelling in the outer court. And God is not dwelling in the holy place. God is dwelling in the holy of holies. In the outer court, we have the altar, the burnt offering altar, and also there's the laver for washing, two items. And in the holy place, there are three items. There's the showbread table, and there is the golden lampstand. Then there is the golden incense altar, three items. But in the Holy of Holies, there's only one item. That is the Ark of the Testimony with the propitiation, with the expiation cover. So this we see, this piece of furniture, the Ark of the Testimony, is very, very crucial. Okay, maybe we'll just read verse 22 to get the whole picture. Let's read together. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the expiation cover, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the Ark of the Testimony, of everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. They are referring, of course, to the propitiation place, to the propitiation place or the expiation cover. And that is the lid or the cover of the Ark of the Testimony. So there, so God charged Moses to make this piece of furniture. He didn't wait until, you know, everything is ready. Then he said, okay, once this all ready, then I will meet you. No. Even the first item, when Moses was charged how to make it, right away, God spoke this word. There, I will meet you. Amen. So we can see it's very, very important, the Ark of the Testimony. I appreciate, you know, we go over this, it's not just for us to know, you know, how the Ark was made, but rather it's God wants to meet with us.
Amen.
Of course, then God met Moses and God met in the Holy of Holies at the Ark, at the propitiation cover, the high priest. But just as the burden for the life study messages, and during the crystallization study, this time the burden is the same. We want to read these verses for the sake that it will not just be there, which is in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, but rather it should be here.
Amen.
So this morning, what are we doing here?
Amen.
God is meeting with us.
Right.
God said, so we want to bring there to here. We want to bring then to now. So this moment, we should be enjoying God's presence.
Amen.
We should be enjoying God's meeting with us. And we are meeting with God.
Yes.
And for God to meet with us, it's not just, you know, we say hi.
Uh-huh.
He wants to speak to us.
Amen.
He wants to reveal himself to us. Even he wants to infuse himself into us. So this matter of the Ark of the Testimony and the expiation cover is, they are very, very precious to all of us. So this time, when I went over this, I really appreciate that there is such a picture, which in the New Testament, we have the clear speaking of the Lord's word. The Lord will be with us to the end of the age.
Yes.
And the Lord has promised whenever two or three are gathered into his name,
right,
he is in our midst.
Amen.
But the picture concerning the meeting with God and God meeting with us, in the Old Testament we see it, we will treasure even the more.
Amen.
I think this morning we all enjoy very much the Lord's table. You know, the Lord shed his blood to cleanse us.
Right.
So we fallen sinners, can be washed, can be cured, can have the double cure, not just from the guilt of sin, but also from the power of sin. Even God wants us to be in His presence. So thank the Lord for His word for us today, now, in this place, to enjoy Him as our portion. Let me just mention a few points concerning the Ark of the Testimony. The Ark of the Testimony, of course, is the Lord charged Moses to use acacia wood. The wood signify the humanity. It's something created. But gold, the acacia wood was overlaid with gold inside and outside. And this Ark of the Testimony, the name was taken because there is a testimony, which is the law, in the Ark. There are two tablets. They are called the testimony of God because they are the description of God. They are the portrait of God. But the two commandments, you know, the two tablets, they are just something written to describe God. But the real living description of God, in fact, is the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus is the living testimony of God. So this Ark of the Testimony, in fact, is a type of the Lord Jesus as God's testimony. So so this Ark of Testimony reveals God to us, but it needs someone living to really portray and express God, which is the Lord Jesus. He can. But God's purpose is not to gain one person on the earth to be His expression, but rather God's purpose to gain a corporate person, which is the body of Christ, for His expression. So the body of Christ is the testimony of Jesus. So we see at the end of the book of Revelation, there is this phrase, the testimony of Jesus. So as a church, we should be the Lord's testimony on the earth. You know, yesterday we had a fellowship, a service fellowship. Saints, different saints from different area of New York City or even New York State, sharing how the Lord is moving on in the city and in the state. This, you know, some gave testimony concerning the Lord's move in Bronx. Also, some in the South Brooklyn, and also the Lord's moving in Flushing, and also in upstate New York, in the Mid-Hudson Valley, and also in Staten Island in Jersey City. And their sharing just reminded me of this matter of the Ark of the Testimony. The Ark of the Testimony is God's testimony. My concept was this piece of furniture is stationary, right? Once it's made, it's placed there. But in fact, it's not so, because this Ark of the Testimony, it has four rings at the feet of this Ark. And there are also two poles. They were placed inside the rings. And it's mentioned particularly the poles are not supposed to be taken out. We think, you know, once it's stationed there, you know, let's take it out, so you'll be easy, right? But it's not supposed to take it out. Right. It's supposed to stay there. For what purpose? That means this ark has to be ready to move all the time. Amen. You know, even for us, you know, the church in New York City, we've been here a while, right? Are we supposed just to stay where we are? No. The Lord wants to move on. That's why I enjoy very much what the brothers sharing concerning what the Lord is doing in New York City. They are just the ark in motion. Not just stationary, but rather in motion. So I really enjoy that. Our God is an energized and moving God. Yes. Of course, we all enjoy very much. You know, we have received the Lord Jesus into us. But He in us is not just remain there doing nothing. But He is there stirring us up, energizing us. You know, there's a phrase in Romans, I think 15, 16, mentioned about Paul mentioned that he is an energized priest of the gospel. Right. Right. So today, who are the priests? We are the priests. Right. So this ark is supposed to move. And the moving of the ark, God has designated, not by any other means, but has to be human beings. And not just human beings. It has to be God's redeemed people. Right, that means you and me, we are the ones supposed to carry this ark. Amen. And this ark has to be carried by man. You know, in the Old Testament, you mentioned that when the Philistines, you know, they were the enemy of God's people. In the Old Testament, make the long story short, they defeated the children of Israel. They took the ark. And eventually, you know, the ark doesn't need people to help. So the Philistines, they defeated the children of Israel, but they got defeated by the ark. Yeah. Because they don't know what to do with the ark. The ark in the land of Philistine, they got all the troubles. Yeah. And eventually they realized, we can't keep this ark. So they want to ship it back. What they did was they don't have people to carry it. They put on a cart. And some animals carry it. And so they went, you know, and the ark, you know, and the animal just went by its way. And it returned safely to the children of Israel. It seems the animal has the GPS. Knows where to go. So it shows the ark, which is a type of Christ, is God's testimony on the earth. It goes every place victorious. Amen. You know, so the children, make the long story short, the children of Israel, when David had the ark, somehow he followed the same way. He wants, you know, to have animals to carry it. Maybe that's more stable, right? But something happened. And David learned the lesson. Eventually, he moved the ark properly, and the ark arrived safely and is in its place. So today, we as the ones carrying the ark, we are carrying according to God's ordained way. Amen. God's ordained way is to be carried by human beings, and in fact, by the Levites, by the tribe of Levi. You know, the tribe of Levi, they also have the household of Aaron. The house of Aaron, they are the priests. But the tribe of Levi, the rest, aside from the house of Aaron, they are the Levites. They are doing the chores in the tabernacle. Amen. So today, among us, I don't know, did you know whether you are Levites or you're priests? Before I didn't know too much. If I do something, I think I'm a Levi. But today, we all are priests. Amen. And we are also Levites. Don't say you are priests, you don't do anything. We are priests and we are Levites. Amen. We are carrying God's testimony. Amen. So we should carry it on our shoulders. You know. So mostly this ark is carried maybe two in the front, two in the back, and in other words, they have to have a direct contact with the ark. And the ark typifies Christ. So today, for God to move in this city, it needs us. And it needs us to be in direct contact with the Lord. That's why we are very encouraged. Many saints in the morning, they get up, you know, they spend time in the Word. That is a direct contact with the Lord. So we should not have any other ways, but rather we should, by our contacting with the Lord, have a direct contact. And also in coordination, you know. In the church life, we are not just individual Christians. We are coordinating together, you know. Especially when the Lord going on, we need the proper coordination in service, in different areas. And this coordination is by the picture that the children of Israel, the Levites, they carrying the ark in coordination and in oneness with the ark, in the direct contact with the ark, with the Lord, for his move on the earth. And this, of course, needs us to pray very much, because this is not just something physical. This is something spiritual. So we all need to move on with the Lord, both individually in our Christian life, also corporately in the church life, that the Lord may have a way to spread his testimony in many parts of the city, you know, both in the five boroughs and also to the upstate. Even the saints in the upstate, they mentioned that, you know, originally they moved there only, I think, three couples. But now they found out there were 60 or so contacts and they need to be recovered. They testified, the Lord is moving even faster than they can move on with the Lord. So the Lord is very desirous to move on in this city. And we all need to wake up. You know, the Lord is moving on, and we need to move on with him for his purpose. So this is the ark of the testimony. Concerning the expiation cover, I just want to mention a few things. Maybe we can read some of the verses together. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. Let's read together. And after the second veil, a tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar and the Ark of the Covenant, covered about everywhere with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. So according to this verse, we all know how many items in the Ark of the Testimony? Three. What are the three? The covenant, right? There's the covenant, the tablets, the two tablets, and also there's the golden pot, which had the manna, and also the budded rod. So three items. But if you read Exodus 25, there was only one item. So in other words, the other two items, the golden pot with the hidden manna and the budded rod, was added afterwards. So these are the contents of the ark. All of them are very meaningful. In the Old Testament, they were placed into the ark. But in the New Testament, in fact, they are realities to us. The two tablets, it was inscribed on the stone. But today, with us, they are not written laws given to us, but rather, they are the law of the Spirit of life. They are inscribed on our hearts. They're placed in us. So today, with all of us, there's something in us that is called the law of life, the law of the Spirit of life. This is something spontaneous, automatic. There is the divine capacity, ability, not just to regulate us. In the Old Testament, the law was for regulation. But in the New Testament, the law of life, the law of the Spirit of life within us, is operating to conform us to the image of the firstborn Son of God.
Amen.
So as long as life is growing, we all know, if the life is growing, the life will operate automatically. You don't need to do anything else. As long as the life is growing, the life is operating. Just like a banana. A banana, you know, the tree, you don't need to tell the banana tree, don't bear apples, you know.
Right.
Make sure you come out yellow and this shape. You don't need to do that. As long as the life is operating, the life will bear the fruits.
Amen.
So today with all of us, it's the same.
Right.
You don't need to do good. Why? Because the law of the spirit of life is God himself operating in us.
Amen.
As long as every day we enjoy this life, the life will make me like God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You know, we all try to do good, you know. I was so bad yesterday. Today, I definitely want to do good. It doesn't work. God's way is not by improving. God's way is not by correction. God's way is by life.
Amen.
So all these items in the ark, they are very meaningful. The hidden manna. The hidden manna is just something, you know, you mentioned in Exodus. Again, you mentioned in Revelation concerning the hidden manna. Hidden manna is just the Christ. Christ is the bread from heaven in John 6. And today, when we enjoy Christ in the most intimate way, that is the hidden manna.
Right,
and that Christ nourishes us, supplies us,
right.
Became our life supply for us that we can eat him and live because of him.
Amen.
And the budding rye is the same, referring to a dry, dead wood. Well, it was Aaron's rod, but it placed overnight. The rod, the dry wood, budded and flowered.
Right.
Then it bear fruits.
Yes.
So today, within us, there is such a resurrection life.
Right.
No matter how difficult the situation you go through, I go through, this life will come out in resurrection.
Amen.
It will surprise you. It will surprise everybody. So don't get disappointed. We should have hope in everyone.
Amen.
Because we cannot make it, God can make it.
Amen.
The resurrection life in us can make it.
Amen.
So we should not trust in ourselves. The more we fail, you should tell the Lord, I should fail anyway.
Right.
Only you don't fail. Only the resurrection life in us, no matter what kind of situation it goes through, it will come out in resurrection. Praise the Lord, we have the hope in the resurrection life, not in ourselves, not in our natural man. Praise the Lord for this. Okay, in fact, all these precious things was covered by the expiation cover.
Yeah.
You know, the ark, the size of the ark is 2.5 cubits, 1.5 cubits, and 1.5 cubits. It's all half. In the past, when I heard this ark is typified Christ, I wonder why Christ is always half. 2.5, 1.5, 1.5. The reason is half is for testimony. Christ in himself is perfect, is complete. But Christ needs a counterpart.
Amen.
And this counterpart is the church. That's why at the end of the Bible, there is the Spirit and the bride.
Right.
So Christ needs his church, needs his body, needs a bride to match him. So this is Christ. And this ark of the testimony, it was covered by this piece of furniture, which is called the expiation cover. And this piece of furniture is 2.5 by 1.5. In other words, exactly cover the same as the size of the top of the ark. And it can be placed on top.
Right.
You know, with this cover, there are two things very striking. Before I thought, you know, when you made this ark, then you put the cover on top. The ark is made of acacia wood overlaid with gold. But this cover is 100% gold.
Right.
So if you see it, Of course, it has two cherubims. The cherubims, they have face toward one another, and the face is overlooking the cover. And they have eyes, they see. And they have wings, they, you know. So this is the expiation cover. I mentioned there are two striking things. My view concerning this piece of expiation cover was it must be shining and golden, right? But if you are there, you will see, yes, the cherubims are 100% gold. And they are one piece with this cover. But what their wing is covering, which is the cover or the propitiation propitiation place or the expiation cover, what you see if you are there, after the children of Israel travel in the wilderness 40 years, what you see, their cover will be full of blood. Because once a year, the high priest enter into the Holy of Holies, they have to bring the blood from the burnt offering altar and sprinkle on the cover. And sprinkle before the ark 7 times. So the two striking things concerning cover, this cover, firstly is the blood, and the secondly is gold. The blood, of course, signifies Christ's redemption, Christ's humanity, Christ's judicial redemption. But the gold signifies Christ's divinity, signifies his glory. I should be finished in a minute or two. I didn't realize if you are the high priest, you go into this place. Of course, we are very conscious, you know, the blood. You know, we need the blood. But as far as God is concerned, God wants to meet with us. When God meets with us, of course, because of blood, his righteous requirement, the requirement of his holiness and his glory are all satisfied by Christ's redemption. So our situation between us and God is appeased. We are reconciled with God. So God is happy to meet us. That's what the verse 22 mentioned. There I will meet you. There I will speak to you. I will speak with you. So this is the picture we see with this piece of ark and especially the propitiation cover. Okay, let's read a few verses, then we can finish up, then I'll mention something. Romans 3:25, whom God set forth as a propitiation place through faith in his blood for the demonstrating of his righteousness, in that in his forbearance God passed over the sins that had previously occurred. So in the Old Testament, God only passed over the sins of the children of Israel. And God set forth the propitiation place. In the Old Testament, that propitiation place is just the cover, the expiation cover. In the Old Testament, it was hidden because it was in the Holy of Holies. Only high priests can go in. But in the New Testament, God has made this piece open. So everyone can see it.
Amen.
And this piece is sprinkled with blood that shows that Christ has died, has shed his blood.
Yes.
And God has set Christ forth as a propitiation place. So this place, this cover, in fact, is a person.
Amen.
It's just the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, he passed over the sins of the Old Testament sin. But in the New Testament, we enjoy the redemption. God not only passed over his cover, but rather it has been washed away. Our sins has been washed away. Okay, let's continue with Psalm 80, verse 1. Oh, shepherd of Israel, give ear, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit between the cherubim, shine forth. Here it shows God sits between the cherubim. So God meets with us, according to this verse, not standing. God meets with us, sit between the cherubim. That's why in the New Testament, the same word concerning the propitiation cover was translated the throne of grace. And also it was translated the mercy seat. So all this shows that this place is where God is. In fact, this place is just God in Christ. As the place for us to meet, for us to meet him, for us to converse with him, to hear his speaking, to let him reveal himself to us in revelation, in vision, and in speaking to give us the instructions for us to live the Christian life. Okay, let's finish up the reading. 1 John 2:2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Okay, here I mentioned about Christ himself is the propitiation. If you read the original Greek, this he is our propitiation. It refers propitiatory sacrifice. So Christ is the sacrifice. It was killed, then the blood was brought in, sprinkled on the expiation cover. Hebrews 2:17. Hence, he should have been made like his brothers in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So Christ is not only the propitiatory sacrifice, he is also the one who accomplished the propitiation. So he is the sacrifice, he is the one who accomplished the propitiation, and he is also the place, the propitiation place. You know, in Hebrews Paul, then he mentioned, we have such a high priest, let's come forward. So we can come forward, it's because Christ, he is the propitiation sacrifice, he is also the one who made the propitiation, and now he is the place for us to meet God. Amen. So praise the Lord. Amen. Today we can meet God. Amen. In fact, God wants to meet us even the more than we want to meet him. That's why in verse 22, it mentioned, there I will meet you. So when God meet with us, in fact, the blood was added. God's original intention was every time he wants to meet us, he meet us in glory. Amen. Because of God's glory requirement, we all come short of the glory of God. That's why the blood comes in. To satisfy God, to appease the situation between God and us. But God's original intention was he wants to meet with us. And whenever he meets with us, there is the glory of God, amen, which is just Christ himself. So today, if we are meeting God, we are in glory. Amen. You know, even Friday when I went to a campus meeting, there was two gospel friends, and they both prayed, and their face lit up. It shows they saw something. You know, we're all the same. You know, when we got saved, our face got lit up, right? Amen. Why? Because we saw God's glory. Amen. When we meet God, we see God's glory. Amen. Christ is God's glory. Christ is the one who accomplished redemption. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are such a privileged people. Amen. On the earth. Today, we are here to be his testimonies. Amen. And also to carry his testimonies. Amen. Wherever we are in this city, Christ's name should be exalted, and his testimony should be strengthened in this city and spread all over New York State.
Amen.
May the Lord bless the church in New York City.
Amen.
And we all may enjoy his presence, his speaking, day by day.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.